is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Carmichael Dave.
All right, final hour of the program. Welcome back. Hope you all had a safe Memorial Day weekend. 1-800-920-1140 are the phone numbers. 916-339-1140. You can text us and go to YouTube. Search KHTK and watch us. As our guy Punchface is in there now, just dodgering.
Is that a thing?
He's like, you're a Dodger fan, but it's okay. You're not a bag about it.
Like, does that bag start with a D and not for
yeah,
Dodger?
Yeah. He's like a bag about it. But it's fine. I mean, it makes sense. Giants won 3-4. Woo. Let's do the whole show about it. I'm just glad he showed up.
They've actually won 4 straight.
I'm talking about 3 or 4.
Yeah, I know, but they've won 4 straight. Give them their due.
Tyron Woodley, who was released from the UFC, or according to his manager's contract, was up back in April, has signed on to fight Jake Paul.
Yay!
Into August.
That's not the Paul fighting Mayweather, right?
No, that's Logan. Logan Paul. Okay.
I get those two confused.
Logan Paul.
Very boomer of me, I get it, but.
I mean, I'll say this. Tyron Woodley has hands.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Askren was a wrestler who used his hands to basically try to distract people so he could wrestle them. Tyron Woodley is not, you know, Boxer Fred. Like, he's not, his stand-up is still not the best part of his game, which has slipped quite a bit since he lost his title. But definitely can throw the hands.
He can punch. Trained hands.
Here's what I'm wondering. What if it comes out that all these guys, what if it comes out that all these guys are just throwing the fights? Is that actually a huge thing? Because there's betting on it.
But, yeah, in that respect, God, yeah, that's
but
a huge
but
thing.
But isn't that completely in play here?
Sure.
That these fights, if they're not being completely thrown, that it's kind of a rut. Like, is it not completely in play that Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather have already talked about, hey, dude, I'm going to steal your hat, then I'm going to sell merchandise about it, and then we're going to have one more dust up leading up to the fight, and then, you know, carry me for a few rounds.
Yeah, I mean, combat sports in general over the last 15 to 20 years have gotten more WWE-esque in their presentation.
Yes.
And to your point, the only thing really has been missing, although, you know, there could be evidence to the contrary, is taking a dive, working the fight, so to speak, having a predetermined outcome that we don't know about.
Right.
I'm not saying that's happening, but again, to your point, I'm not saying that is definitely in the realm of possibility. Mm-hmm. Yes. The way the internet works and how we generate interest in these fights. I mean, I feel like a lot of these, you know, pre-fight incidents are not natural. There's definitely some showmanship involved, so to speak. So yeah, I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Would you care?
Me personally, no, because I don't really give these fights any real legitimate anything.
Right.
So no, I personally wouldn't care. But in the betting world, there's a lot of people that would care.
I wouldn't touch it.
Oh God, no. For what?
Woodley's probably going to make more money in this fight than he did in his whole career.
Nah, that's not saying much when you're a UFC fighter.
And that's the thing. There's incentive.
We make more money than UFC fighters do.
And that's, by the way, one of the biggest protections against working fights is by paying the fighters and incentivizing them to not do that. I mean, if a fighter feels like he's being underpaid for all these fights and someone offers him $10 million.
Dude, anybody's taking that deal, right?
I mean, listen.
Because that's a whole other conversation about UFC pay, but 95% of UFC fighters are completely underpaid, in my opinion. So yeah, go take the money, kid.
I mean,
go get paid.
And would you be mad though?
No. Again, I get it. I get it, man. That paycheck could be securing who knows what for his family. You know what I mean? Do you. Do what you got to do. These fights already lack a certain level of integrity. Like, I can't be mad at a dude taking care of his family. We're talking about fighting YouTube kids, okay? This ain't the heavyweight championship of the world. This ain't a legitimate fight.
Where are the ethics?
Listen, you're throwing the ethics out the door. I get it. Yeah. I'm not saying it's ethical. I am not here to defend the ethics. Okay. I'm here to say, you know what, man? If you were in a fight sport that underpaid you for a long time and you got this opportunity presented to yourself, get your money. Again, it's already questionable. The ethics are already questionable. Oh, and by the way, knock old boy out. I hope that's what happens.
I doubt it. Knock Jake Paul out so much. But yeah, you're right. Because here's the thing. If you knock Jake Paul out, I'm not going to say the money machine doesn't close, but it slows down.
Oh, I think it closes.
I don't think it closes because there's still gimmick fights.
Gimmick fights will always be a thing. I mean, that goes back there's to celebrity boxing fight, right? And all that nonsense.
You're going to get, Mark Wahlberg. Well, Mark Wahlberg doesn't need the money.
But what I'm saying is the level of gimmick fight that the Pauls are putting out there to the point they're getting Showtime deals, that will end. Once they're on their ass, it's not fun to watch
it's
anymore.
It's a multi-fight Showtime
deal. I get it. Which kind of leads a...
Which is dumb, by the
which
way.
Which kind of... I know we're being super conspiratorial here, but it kind of leads, credence to what you're saying about possibly having fights being thrown. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. We should definitely keep that in mind.
I was thinking about the Clippers over the weekend. So they've come back and reclaimed home court. They lost their first two at home. Clippers were done.
Two different teams, man.
Now, listen. To credit us.
Yeah, us.
We said, hey, listen. If... We talked about, hey, is something going to click? Are these guys going to turn it on?
Or a clip.
Win, thank you. Four or five, four in a row or four or five. And could this propel them? Because they have the talent to go deep in these playoffs. They're constructed to be a playoff team. Not without weaknesses, but they're constructed to be a playoff team. If that works... Great. But somebody asked me, who are you rooting for in the West? I threw out some stuff.
Nobody. Is that okay? Like, you don't have to root for somebody, right? There's nobody in the West I'm rooting for. Give a damn about the Jazz. Give a damn about the Suns. Give a damn about the Lakers. Give a damn about the Clippers. Give a damn about the Mavericks. Give a damn about the Nuggets, the Blazers, Grizz. Give a damn. Mm-hmm. You have someone you're rooting for?
I started asking myself the question, why am I not rooting for the Clippers? Number one.
Are you legitimately asking yourself, is this a therapy session? Because we can go through it. I can help you through this if you need it. Number one, they're an LA team. I know you're just against all LA teams, so there's your first.
But here's the thing. Exactly, you're right.
There's the genesis of why you're not rooting for them.
But here's the thing. Even beyond being an LA team, the core of that is hatred of the Lakers and Laker fans.
Sure.
Sports hatred of the Lakers and Laker fans. Wouldn't it be logical, coming from that point of view, to absolutely root for the Clippers because there's no team in the NBA that could win the title that would piss off the Lakers and Laker fans more than the Clippers? I don't even think it's close.
Sure. I'll agree with that. There would be a lot of hurt feelings in Purple and Gold Nation. A lot of hurt feelings. A lot of crying, a lot of emotional outbursts, so to speak.
There's no other team that would cause Laker fans more pain if they won the finals than the Clippers. Ergo, why are we not Clipper fans?
You asking me?
I'm asking you.
Because I just don't like the team. I'm sorry. I'm not emotionally invested in Lakers or Laker fans to care enough about them being angered. I don't care. Like, I don't care if they're mad and crying.
You don't?
No. It's just an annoying-ass fan base that I don't like. But I don't have emotional investment in them. Sorry. I just do not care.
Their tears are my lifeblood.
I get it. They're your lifeblood. They're not my lifeblood.
And because I enjoy the...
Dude, I'm emotionally invested in the Kings. I don't need any more negativity about emotional investment in basketball.
But there's not a lot of reason to be positive or optimistic about the Kings.
I get it. So that's why I'm saying that's where all my emotional investment goes. I can't have any more go into whether or not the Lakers win, because if I get emotionally invested in that fan base and they win, I'll go nuts.
But it is nice to see the Laker fans. You know,
I'm not saying it's not. I'm not saying, hey, when they're...
Who's the most likable team in the West right now in the playoffs?
The most likable?
It's not the Suns. Is it the Nuggets? Is it the Jazz? I mean, the Jazz have Grayson Allen. How can they be likable? And Rudy Gobert is kind of a ween. How can that be likable? I like Donovan Mitchell. Joe Ingles. Joe Ingles is a smack talker. I don't think Utah's very likable. Quinn Snyder.
The Blazers are likable.
Scares me.
The Blazers are very likable. Dame is one of the most likable players in the league. How do you not like CJ McCollum? How do you not like Nurkic getting loose on Stephen A. Smith?
All right, so Portland.
Did you hear that audio? It's in there if you haven't. It's great.
Nurkic getting loose on Stephen A.?
Nurkic got loose on Stephen A. and he got loose on someone else, but Nurk was not having it anymore.
What was this about?
His defense. Nurk was not okay with this.
I don't see it. Is it from the other day?
It's in one of the days.
All right, I'll look.
We had a lot of days over the weekend. I get confused on which day goes where. I can look while you spam.
Okay, so I'll give you Portland. Well, who else?
Portland is Harry Jack. Again, Portland. Denver's kind of likable.
Oh, here we go. Here's Nurkic on Stephen A.
And obviously, I see Stephen A. coming after me. He's sick of me. You know, I don't know if I can do anything about it. Those guys do what they do, and I, you know, respect at some point. But, you know, I'm not worried too much about them. But, you know, when coming from the guy who, like I said, couldn't play in this league right now, no even chance. And he's saying about defense, and he, I guess, no, I don't know. You tell me who he is, and I'll listen to that.
See Stephen A. go at Kwame Brown.
Of course.
Playing bloopers.
Yep.
I mean, listen.
You feed a troll, a troll eat.
Not for nothing, but. That's not going to end well, dude.
No, not if you come across Kwame.
I'm not advocating it. I'm just saying that's not going to end well. Stephen A., I know if Stephen A. were here right now, I'm not afraid of this. I wouldn't
have messed with Kwame Brown ever, number one. But after I heard Gilbert Arenas tell the story of him basically like beating up six security guards in a club, I'm like, yeah, I'm good. That guy can probably beat me up.
Just at some point, you know.
There's certain guys you don't want to the smoke with, man. It's not worth it.
I'm like Lance Woods, dude. I preemptively went on social media as a member. Meeting. Was like, hey, listen,
Team Kwame,
Team Kwame, dude. I just want to say, I'm on Team Kwame and I'm good. And if I ever say anything to disrespect Kwame Brown, I'm sorry. Although I know I haven't. You know. Sorry. Okay, so Portland. What about Dallas?
Nah. What's likable about Dallas? Who on there you're like, man, I'm really a big fan of Player X. Dorian Finney-Smith? Big fan of Tim Hardaway Jr.?
So from a Kings...
Do you have a Maxi Kleber jersey I don't know about?
From a Kings fan's point of view, is Portland the most likable team left in the West?
Yes. They have Harry Giles. Doesn't that just make him likable off top? We love Harry. No, they just have a lot of... the Blazers not just have a lot of likable guys, they have a lot of likable stories. Dame is a likable guy and a likable story. Harry Giles has a likable story. Who was I just thinking of on that team that has a... Carmelo's comeback. A very likable story. There's not a whole lot to hate on Portland.
Is that it?
Yeah. If you're telling me if you said I have to root for a team to come out of the West just based upon excuse me, likability, it'd be Portland.
Yeah, I guess so. I want to like, what about Denver? Hold on a second.
Denver's fine. I like Michael Malone. Hold on a second.
Isn't Denver the most likable team from a Kings fan point of view left in the tournament?
No.
No. I'm talking about the West.
No.
Michael Malone.
Yeah.
Michael Porter Jr., who...
Why is Michael Porter Jr. likable?
I feel like there's some sort of connection there.
There's not.
Nah. Who doesn't like Nikola Jokic? What is there not to like on Denver? Let me ask you this. Plus Michael Malone. What is there not to like on Denver?
Gary Harris Jr.? I don't know.
I think it's Denver followed close.
Denver and Portland.
Yeah, I'll allow for that.
How about 1A, 1B? Can we agree on that?
That's fine. So you can't root for the Clippers because you don't care enough about Laker fan being sad.
I don't care.
Is that, but is part of that.
And I hate how the super teams come together.
I don't feel like you are representative of the normal Kings base. I will never question your Kings fan credentials. I know you're diehard. But is there a tiny bit of Dodger bleeding into that?
Not at all. I've always said this. My fandom for the Dodgers has nothing to do with the city of Los Angeles.
It's a family thing.
There's no Dodger bleeding in there. If anything, I have made more fun of LA Dodger fan than not. Because I see the issues.
But once you drink the
Blue-Laid?
Yeah, once you drink the Blue-Laid, doesn't that open you up to the Gold-Laid?
Nah.
Gold-Aid and Purple-Aid?
No.
No.
Nah.
All right. I mean, just you saying that you don't take pride or not pride. You don't take pleasure in the suffering of a Laker fan.
It kind of
threw me a little.
I didn't say that.
All right, what'd you say? I said
I'm not emotionally invested in them. That's not to say when they're not having their little outburst that I don't think it's some of the most entertaining things in the world. I think it's hilarious. Like when they, what was it a couple years ago? Weren't they like gathered, like they had a rally of like seven people outside of Staples Center? Wasn't it for the Buss family to sell the team or something?
Yeah, something.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, they organized.
All these angry Laker fans, you see it, Laker fans, come down to Staples today. We're going to rally. There was like seven people.
Haven't the Nets been the most dominant team in the playoffs so far? Milwaukee swept. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Milwaukee didn't just sweep. They sweep with authority. They sent Miami a message.
I'm actually really looking forward to a Milwaukee Nets matchup.
I'm going to say this. The Bucks Nets might be the best matchup we get of the playoffs.
But hold on, though, because the East is actually weirdly fun this year.
The East is way funner than the West, for sure.
It really is.
It's a lot more intriguing. Because the Sixers are intriguing, the Bucks are intriguing, and the Nets are obviously intriguing. When your top three teams all are that intriguing, heck yeah. The Jazz aren't that intriguing. I'm sorry, they're just not.
They're kind of boring, and that sucks because I would happily take boring. Wait, is this right? This can't be right. Do Brooklyn and Milwaukee play in the next round?
Yeah. Philadelphia is the one. Should they hold on, which they will.
They will.
They get Hawks or Knicks, that's a whole other series that's kind of gone a different way than people thought.
Man. Milwaukee and Brooklyn in the second round, that's a beast.
Like I said, that might be the best series we get.
Well, because if Utah holds on.
If you're the Sixers, you love that, right? Because they're going to beat the hell out of each other. One of them, you know, obviously will go to the conference
finals.
Absolutely.
But you got to think it's going to be a knockout dragout.
That's what I mean. If you're the Sixers, you're looking at that like, yeah, go seven, guys.
I don't know that it's going to be that. I don't know. I could be completely wrong. I feel like the Nets might steamroll the Bucks.
I don't think so. The Bucks look different this year,
they do,
man.
They do. But the Nets also have three of the top four players on the floor.
I get it. But
the Bucks have a better team.
I was just going to say, Giannis is pretty good. Chris Middleton, we don't talk about enough how freaking good Chris Middleton is. And Drew Holiday has been a difference maker there.
I mean, in the West, Utah is up 3-1 on Memphis.
Yeah, that series is done.
Well, and also,
was done when Donovan Mitchell came back.
Can I say something about that series? I don't think it's possible for the Grizzlies to have played better or smarter or more at or above their level in this series.
I
think what you said is exactly right. I think the Grizzlies and Jazz, when the Jazz don't have Donovan Mitchell, are almost a coin flip. And then when the Jazz do have Donovan Mitchell, the Jazz are better. And it's really that simple. I don't fault the Grizz at all. I think the Grizz have played as well as they can.
Yeah, the Jazz are just a much more talented team.
And I'm assuming Anthony Davis is going to have issues, so I'm going to go ahead and pencil in Phoenix.
Wow.
I said that earlier.
Well, he's unlikely. He's listed as, I think, questionable officially, but he's unlikely to play tonight.
Yeah, I think if Phoenix wins tonight, that series is over.
But what if they don't?
Then
put it past the Lakers to sneak one out tonight.
I mean, they do have LeBron James.
He's good.
But he's not. But I feel like Father Time caught LeBron James this year, and we just didn't really notice.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron's ankle is not 100%.
No. And I don't mean by skill. I mean by health.
Age, yeah.
And then Denver-Portland, I have no idea. I don't have that. That's a coin flip to me. I have no idea.
It's to me, been one of the best. It's been the best series that's not getting talked about.
I agree.
It's been fun.
Least talked about series. It has been the least talked about series. But let's say whether it's Denver or Portland, whoever, whatever that is, Denver or Portland, Phoenix or LA, that second round is going to be amazing. And then nobody's going to care about Utah and the Clippers. But I'm telling you something right now, dude.
I think people will care about Utah and the Clippers. I don't think anyone will care about Utah and Dallas if that goes that way.
No. Luka.
Kawhi, PG. Clippers, LA, big market.
Luka's a bigger name than Kawhi or PG.
I agree, he's a bigger name.
But I don't think that.
To your point, Clippers storyline, if they get past Dallas, going into Utah, again, being the little brother in LA, that's going to pick up more. And it picks up more and more as they progress. By the way, that team, I can't figure out. It's a tale of two teams. You look like complete hot garbage on your home floor for two straight, and then you go into Dallas and just, you look like the team everyone thought they were getting when they signed Kawhi and PG. I don't know. The Clippers are just such a coin flip at this point for me because I just don't know what team's showing up. I really don't.
Would it shock you if the Clippers won the title this year?
No, it wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me if the Clippers won the title. It also wouldn't shock me if they lose the next two games around the first round.
I think there's no team in the NBA that matches up better with the Nets than the Clippers.
For sure. Do you think that at this point, let's say the Lakers are out of it, right? Because injuries are just going to hurt them too bad. Is Clippers-Nets the most watched series you can get from an NBA standpoint?
Probably. New York-LA.
So you got the two big markets.
You got
five huge stars.
But you're talking about realistic because, let's be honest, of the teams that are still alive in the playoffs right now, the Lakers-Knicks would break records.
Yeah.
Would break records.
For sure.
And by the way, the Lakers and Knicks have half the star power. And by the way, they have LeBron and AD. They have half the star power that the Nets and Clippers would. You put the Nets and Clippers on the same floor, you have James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, it's superstars galore. It's big markets. It's the two little brothers. That's the storyline.
That's the storyline I love. You know what? You just kind of sold it for me. I think Nets Clippers would be fun in the sense that A, it's probably the best matchup, and B, it's both little brothers.
Been in the shadow their entire lives.
They are the Jets. They are the Mets. They are the Angels. They are the
A's.
A's. I was trying to think of a football equivalent. There's the Rams and the Chargers?
Chargers.
Yeah. The White Sox.
Although I do believe the Clippers get more fans than the Chargers do.
Yeah. That would be fun. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right. Once in a blue moon, following Ed Crane. I've got a Jacob DeGrom stat that's going to blow your freaking socks off. We've also got What's on Tap and a Crossover. Final half hour of the show starts now.
The Carmichael Dave Show.
These people talk endlessly, incessantly. They have a very high number of words per minute.
On Sports 1140 KHCK.
All right, we're back. Final half hour of the program. We'll get to What's on Tap and a Crossover in the next segment. Right now, I'm looking at Jay. 3-day weekend. And
is that my new name? Jay 3-day weekend?
Jay 3-day weekend, baby.
And you know, if we can make that a reality, I'd totally take on the nickname.
Huh?
I'm willing to take on that nickname if Bonneville International would give us 3-day weekends every weekend.
That would be
fantastic. I will make the sacrifice to be known as Jay 3-day weekend from now on.
You know, Johnny Carson, for like almost the second half of his career on The Tonight Show, it was always a 3-day weekend. You know, Johnny Carson, indirectly or kind of directly, is why Saturday Night Live exists.
Mm-hmm.
They used to replay episodes of The Tonight Show on Saturday night to fill program. And Johnny went to the network and said, no. Don't play those on Saturday night. Save those as replays for Friday. Because I want the 3-day weekend or Monday.
Right.
And they went, okay, well, we got to fill the programming. Let's call this Lorne Michaels guy.
Lorne Michaels and Dick Ebersol, right?
Yes. And it wasn't Saturday Night Live. It was Saturday night.
Yeah, the original name.
And then, it's done okay.
Yeah, I think it's still on, right? People still watch that show?
I
think it's like one of the rare broadcast television shows that's still captivates an audience, so to speak.
My watching of Saturday Night Live, 95% of it over the last 5 years has been when I see that something was amazing and it shows up on YouTube mm-hmm. or Twitter.
That's a lot of people, though.
I can't remember the last time. I know the exact last time I watched a Saturday Night Live live. Who was before? Was Eddie Murphy before or after Chappelle?
Before Chappelle.
Because I've watched every.
Before.
Was he before? Then it was Chappelle. Because when Eddie hosted, I watched it live. When anytime Chappelle hosts,
yeah, that's the only time I watch Chappelle live. Chappelle is just everything.
Period. End of statement. On the YouTube chat, SatKing 7600. Wonder how he put that name together. Like
typed it.
No, but what's the 7600 mean?
Hey, that's his turbo power.
I'm trying to understand what he asked. But did Dave just say Kawhi and PG was more star power? Oh yeah, than LeBron and AD. No, I said Kawhi, Paul George, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving.
More star power than LeBron,
Anthony Davis, and Julius Randle. We were talking about which series would have
totality.
More star power. Right. The Knicks and Lakers or the Nets and the Clippers. And the Nets and the Clippers would have more star power. All right. Once in a blue moon.
Would you hold on real quick?
Yes.
This was actually presented by Chris. Again, every once in a blue moon, he makes an interesting point or question. Would you do the show 4 hours a day, Monday through Thursday, if it meant a 3-day weekend?
No.
Or Tuesday through Friday?
No.
Really? If we could get Monday off, you wouldn't do...
Because you get Monday off, that means you get 3 hours. But then you'd have to work an extra hour a week.
That's fine.
Really?
Yes. For a 3-day weekend? Yeah, man. Sign me up.
Fine. Then why don't we just do this? Why don't we just all week, after the show ends at 9, why don't we put in an extra hour, and then on Fridays, do a 4-hour show that's been previously recorded?
Okay.
All right, run it by management.
I'll let them know.
Once in a blue moon right now.
Once in a blue moon. Brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
This coming from Mark Stein, formerly of ESPN, now the New York Times.
Mark Stein.
TNT will have announcing teams back in arenas for the rest of the playoffs, starting Wednesday with Marv Albert and Reggie Miller at MSG for the Knicks and Hawks.
Good.
Why is that important, you ask?
Because the delay sucks and it's killing me.
A little bit deeper.
Oh, okay. I don't know why.
It could be the last game at MSG for the legend Marv Albert, who's retiring at season's end after 50 years. Uh-huh. Marv Albert began as a ball boy for the New York Knicks, mm-hmm. broadcasting his first game for the team on January 27th, 1963, filling in for his mentor, Marty Glickman. And that game was at the Boston Garden.
Well. Okay, but also the pause is killing me, the delay.
Yeah, again, back to Marv.
Yeah, I mean, no, that's
Marv awesome. It's been Marv's time to retire probably. This could have probably happened about 5 years ago if I'm being 100% honest. But Marv, to me, Marv is my favorite.
Oh, Marv's the best.
Marv is personally my favorite play-by-play guy of all time.
79.
Not saying he's the greatest. I'm saying he's my favorite.
You know, he's going to be 80 years old on June 12th.
Yeah. It's the perfect time to step away and live out your best years doing whatever the hell Marv Albert wants to do.
I don't know.
The only people I've ever stopped to take a picture with.
Oh, you mean of all the people that are constantly asking you for pictures, Marv's the one that yelled at you and you stopped?
Yes.
Okay.
But I chased him down in Vegas about 6 years ago. I caught him.
He's a shifty guy.
No. I was able to catch up with him. I'm like, all right, I need a picture with Marv Albert. Like, that has to happen. This will be the only opportunity I probably ever get to get it.
How deep in the Marv tree do you go? You know.
I know all about Marv's personal.
No. I'm not getting teased. No, you know, Marv Albert is not his name.
Yeah, Marvelous is his name.
Marvin Philip Aufrichtig.
Albert's a little easier to pronounce.
I think so. Aufrichtig. Does Marv Aufrichtig?
Nope.
He's not? No.
Nah.
Not a broad? No.
No. He's a wonderful chef. He's not a great broadcaster.
He's the absolute best. But also, the delays are killing me. I'm tired of Kevin Harlan talking while this amazing dunk happens. Being like, well, and, you know, Kawhi Leonard down the lane. And, oh, a crazy dunk. And they're already like,
they're
halfway
playing defense.
Down the, yeah.
It's not on the broadcasters. It's not their fault.
No, I get it.
They're working.
It's definitely not on the broadcasters. Oh, my God, no. It's not. They're doing everything they possibly can. If I was a broadcaster, I would be very tempted to guess what's going to happen so I could be with the con. But, you know, if you're wrong. Jacob DeGrom. Let me throw this at you.
Hey, good pitcher.
You think?
I do.
In his second start since returning from the IL, he threw 6 scoreless innings against the Diamondbacks.
Shocking.
That lowered his ERA to 0.71.
Is that good?
It's the lowest for a qualified starter through the end of May since Chris Short. You may remember him.
Friend of the show, Chris Short.
Had a 0.64 ERA for the Phillies in 1964.
Quick math, that's almost 50 years. Almost 60 years, excuse me.
In his 8 starts, he's allowed no runs 3 times, 1 run 4 times, and 3 unearned runs in a game at Coors Field in April. He now has 82 strikeouts with just 7 walks. Before DeGrom, the last pitcher with a sub-1 ERA through May was in 2010, and he pitched for the Colorado Rockies. Want to take a stab?
Pitch for the Rockies in 2010?
I know.
As a starter?
I know. Was getting...
James Smith.
I believe this guy was actually getting comparisons to Johan Santana at one point. By the way, Johan Santana.
Was
forgotten
great.
Great. Mm-hmm. Like, let's not forget about how amazing Johan Santana was for a few years. Anyways, Ubaldo Jimenez.
Oh, that was my next guess. I forgot all about Ubaldo Jimenez. As are baseball players easily forgettable in this day and age. What's worse, DeGrom just putting up these, like, insane numbers with the Mets?
Yeah.
Or Mike Trout's insane numbers with the Angels? What's a sadder tale?
They're both terrible. Because the fact of the matter is, for all those numbers, DeGrom is 4-2. He's 4-2.
Trout was having a career year before he got hurt, but I mean, when isn't he having a career year? But it didn't matter. It just doesn't matter that these guys are just doing this.
He didn't allow a hit until the 5th.
Although I would say the NL East is up for grabs still.
4 of DeGrom's pitches in the first inning clocked 101.
That's fast.
He had 27 pitches at 100 or more. Just to give you an idea, that's the third most in a single game in 13 years. Like, he's so good. Oh, by the way, he went 1-for-3 with an RBI. He's batting .450 this year.
So he has to hit to keep his team in contention.
Jacob DeGrom is batting .450 while opponents are batting .129 against him.
And everyone wants to talk about Shohei Ohtani. You're looking at what DeGrom's doing with the stick in the National League.
I don't know, dude. Jacob DeGrom is so good. We actually should sit down and not do the whole list. He's 32, so he's not a spring chicken necessarily, but he's still got, you know, a good few years left.
Doesn't it make you want him out of the Mets organization even more knowing that he's that age?
Well, that's the thing. Who do you want out of their organization more, Mike Trout or Jacob DeGrom?
There's your poll question.
Isn't it kind of Trout because he's younger?
Write that down. That needs to be one of our video blogs this week. That's a terrific question.
I mean, it really – it's so sad that they're relegated to this. Meanwhile, the New York Mets this year – well, I mean, you know, listen, say what you want about the New York Mets. They got a 3.5 game lead in the NL East. So quit your talking, bud.
He sucks.
We'll take a break.
Any team could win that division at this point.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
That's 1-5 in a row. Just saying. We're a big Mets hive here. What's on tap? Coming up, we'll have a crossover, I think. We'll at least ask a question. I don't know if we got one. Oh, we got one. Okay. We'll do all that right after this.
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
What you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap, brought to you by
Legend of Zelda.
What?
She decided to purchase advertising time.
Oh, did she?
And her legend. I'm simply here to accommodate.
Legend of Zelda. Well, let me say this. I can't really give you much on Legend of Zelda because I was never really a Legend of Zelda guy. Mm-hmm. I played the first one.
Who hasn't?
But I will say that I didn't get a chance to really over the weekend. I will be trying Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
I think today.
Sponsor doesn't like you talking about...
I don't know.
Different.
Here's my experience with Legend of Zelda. I played the first one on the original Nintendo because you could save the game. That was a big deal. And I learned how to do the little, before the internet existed, damn near. To do the little combo on the last guy. What was his name? Ganon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I got my wife a Zelda game because she loved them because they're cartoony. I got her whatever the last one was for the Switch, and she hates it. Says it's too hard.
You got her the wrong one.
I guess. I don't like video games. A note to programmers. I know a lot of them are listening right now. Don't make sure that your skill adjustments on video games, how it goes up in difficulty as mm-hmm. you make sure it doesn't go like 1, 2, 3, 12. Because that'll just turn me up. When I'm just cruising along, I'm enjoying the game, and then all of a sudden, oh my God, this level is absolutely horrific. Yeah, I'm done, dude. Sorry, thanks for the game. Thanks for the game, sucker. Not playing it anymore. I'm going back to, Ghost of Tsushima. That's the one I'm into right now.
We're trying to get new advertisers on the show, and this is how you're going to make them go away. We just had one pay for a spot, and you just completely slammed them.
Hey, listen, you know what?
Awful.
If you want...
Awful.
Question is, Jay, would your hours for the new four-hour show be 5 to 9 or 6 to 10? 6 to 10.
6 to 10. Come on.
Sorry, Rome. All right, what's on tap? A lot of stuff going on today. Baseball in full swing. Get it? See what I did there? The Angels and Giants game 2.
Hey, you're a catch.
Thank you. That's terrible. The series 1-0 right now. The Giants won. Alex Wood today against Andrew Heaney. That's in San Francisco. Good evening baseball. 6:45 is your start, but 7:10. Right here in the Sporty 1140, the Athletics against that juggernaut, the Seattle Mariners. Chris Bassett, fresh off that dominant complete game shutout. Was it a fluke? Or can he repeat, strong performances? Another quality start, this time against Marco Gonzalez. Meanwhile, the Cardinals near Dodgers. David Price on the mound for L.A. And where the hell is that? There we are. 505 Padres at Wrigley taking on the Chicago Cubs and Kyle Hendricks.
But we know the basketballs are the...
Yeah, that's what really matters. It's June. Nobody cares about baseball, except the A's, of course, right here on Sports 1140 later today. Everybody cares about that. Celtics-Nets kick it off at 4:30. The Nets at home looking to close this series out. Care to guess what the line is on this game, Guy?
I'm going to say Nets 12.5. Did I nail it? Nothing but net? Huh? Huh? Did I just step on a leprechaun?
Nets favored by 12.5 in this one. I feel like you look.
I swear I don't.
But that's like so.
But I don't have, because here's how
so
you know.
It's so crazy, though.
It's just very easy to predict.
12.5. You could have said 11, 11.5, 12, 12.5, 13.
Nah.
11. It's not easy.
I swear I don't look because I have no betting interest.
Okay, fine. And don't purposely throw it now. I want you to see if you can get three in a row. 6 o'clock, Blazers, Nuggets.
In Denver, right?
That's in Denver.
Go Nuggets 2.5.
Nuggets by 2. Stupid. You're terrible at this. Lakers visit the Valley of the Sun to take on Phoenix.
Phoenix 3.5.
Phoenix 5. Wow.
Wow.
I take everything back. You're the worst.
Thank you.
Yeah, Phoenix favored by 5 in this one. Blazers, Nuggets, Lakers, Suns all tied up at 2. Celtics, Nets 3-1. All right. Crossover question, I believe, from Jay Johnson still. And Jay did a phenomenal job filling in last week. Jay and Doug right now.
What's happening with Jason Ross and Doug Christie?
Hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Let's find out right now with the crossover. Here's today's crossover.
Crossover for you guys. And, you know, we had a great holiday weekend,
yes,
Memorial
sir.
Day weekend. Hopefully everybody was staying safe. I know everyone was safe. But, D, you know, it's kind of feeling a little compact in here,
yeah,
a little snug a little more in here today.
A little snug, gentlemen, maybe a little pressure on the floor. So yeah, that leads me to desserts. And over this holiday weekend, what was that one thing that maybe put on a pound or two or three or four if you indulged or overindulged?
Yeah, tell us. What was the first hand about? Second plate about. Maybe even a little extra. You know, you get up at 12 o'clock at night, get the third one while the kids sleep.
No doubt. Sweet tooth.
All right, so went down to the farm, brought some smoked chicken thighs and a brisket down. In addition to the macaroni salad, the deviled eggs, the ham, the sausages, like everything. But you know what? I was actually pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty damn good. I had a Pepsi. And I had a chocolate chip cookie. Most everything else was brisket and shit. I was pretty good.
I had a Pepsi and a chocolate chip cookie.
That's a big deal for me right
now. Grown man.
Hey, what do you want? It was yummy.
Good Lord.
But here's the problem. So then we early eating there. So I think we ate around noon, 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Then everybody went out and they had a bounce house. And a bounce house, one of those blow-up water slides, right? So it's a bounce house, and then you climb the ladder, and you slide down the little kid water slide. And I was all over that, sliding into this hose-filled pool of water and urine because there was about 50 little kids there.
It's legal in Vegas.
Gotcha. So, but then we're leaving the place, myself and the kiddos. And Avery goes, I'm hungry. I go, you know, I kind of am too. So what happens? 20 minutes later, we're sitting in a parking lot in Ripon, California, munching on the BTS Chicken McNugget meal, and they got blizzards, and I got a soft serve.
That was your Memorial Day weekend dessert?
That was a
soft serve, a chocolate chip cookie, and a Pepsi?
Well, I also had some nugs. And,
that's not dessert.
And yeah, I know. I'm just saying. Yeah, it was a soft. Listen,
it was good. I had some nugs.
McDonald's soft serve is underrated. It's still pretty cheap.
It depends
it's yummy.
On. Some of them changed the recipe. My girlfriend is a huge McDonald's soft serve ice cream fiend, and she'll note if the recipe's different. I'm like, how? It's just soft serve. Anyways.
If I ever get rich, there's two things I've dreamed my whole life of having in my house. I will have on tap at all times A&W root beer,
mm-hmm.
and I will have a soft serve ice cream machine. And occasionally,
wow.
I will go from that root beer tap right over to the soft serve machine.
Go right there, huh?
Make the float happen.
Think that would happen more often than not.
Yeah, probably.
We got lucky. Went over to my girlfriend's parents for Memorial Day barbecue.
Yeah.
And her mom makes Jell-O, but she does something to it. And it's everyone has to do this. It makes it creamy. She'll do Jell-O, but what she'll mix into the Jell-O is frozen evaporated milk.
Interesting.
And it gives it this like creaminess.
Really?
And you put some whipped cream on top of that thing.
Really?
Oh, it's delicious.
Frozen evaporated milk.
Mm-hmm. Mix it into Jell-O.
But how can you mix it into Jell-O if it's frozen?
It unfreezes.
Oh. That was your
It's like, you know, when you mix a smoothie and fruit that's frozen.
Yeah,
same thing.
Okay.
Same idea.
Crossover question for I believe Jason and Doug.
Jason is back.
Wow. Jason, Jay did a great job as filling in while you were gone. Both Jay Johnson on your show and Jay Mars is the big boss. I think he fired like three people, though, but none of them were me. That's fine. Gentlemen, hope you had a wonderful and, of course, safe weekend. So here's our question, and I wanted to make it a food question, but I'm going to make it a sports question because we've been talking about it all day. Am I wrong at this point? Am I ethically and morally wrong that I want to start seeing fans that rush the court dragged by their ankle off the court, if you know what I mean? Like, I need there to be more repercussions. And I'm not saying fight violence with violence, but I am saying that if a fan, you know, had a headache the next day from rushing the court, I wouldn't feel bad. Is that the wrong way to think? For Jay Mars, I'm Carmichael Dave. Jim Rome is next. See you tomorrow morning. Bye-bye now.